You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, I live.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the IGN GameScoop podcast. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
I've unhinged the mic. Anything can happen today.
We're going off the rails here. Colin Moriarty is here. And Brian Altano is also here. It's a very nice day and a very nice Friday in San Francisco. The Giants are playing right now.
Yep.
Right outside.
The crack of the bat.
The building here, they're watching.
The feel of an old glove. the crunch of the peanut.
You know, Greg and I were just talking, since there's a Giants game playing here, that means there's lots of cute girls outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Drunk cute girls.
Yep. All wearing their Hammers. Giants shirts.
Yep.
Hats. Yeah, funny, funny colored sunglasses.
Greg was just telling me that works for him.
Oh yeah, there's nothing more attractive than a girl who's in like going to like a sporting event in like you know the girl clothing that
and
is
and
like a girl
you want to like a girl in a baseball cap
a woman cut shirt, you know what I mean, if that makes sense what I'm
a
saying
a woman
here.
Cut shirt as opposed to the other days
the thing hotter
the words they escape me. I mean somebody wearing a Giants shirt, like you know how they make the girl jerseys now and all this other stuff like that.
Yeah, there's nothing hotter than a girl in a giant orange shirt.
That's what, no the Giants, the team,
like
sporting apparel.
Like
there's nothing
tangerine.
Hotter than a girl in sporting apparel going out to a game of any kind, even the rugby.
I think a girl naked is hotter.
No, but you, that's why that's your problems. That's why you're like how you are.
I don't have problems.
I'm sure you don't.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Agree to disagree.
About ready for a weekend here.
It's about time for a weekend.
You're going to be playing some Prototype 2 this weekend.
I am going to play some
Prototype
2. You
just got your review copy.
I did. You were on the live stream with me.
We were live streaming it earlier today.
Yeah, look for the archive in 4 weeks on IGN.com.
Exactly.
4 weeks.
We're comically slow at putting up live streams archived.
True. So you'll play Prototype 2 this weekend. I'm going to play The Witcher 2.
Oh, okay.
On the Xbox 360. Brian and Colin, what are you guys going to play this weekend?
Fez.
Oh, yeah, Fez. Yes. Fez is out today.
Yep.
It's really good.
Started it last night.
That game's on XBLA and PC?
Not PC yet.
It's a PC eventually.
Yeah.
The game looks cool.
But I think it was in the making for 360 for like 5 years or something.
Yeah, it was a long time.
That's the word. And that dude hates Japanese games.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll play it.
So can somebody fill me in on the details of this story? I missed this when this happened, and I've just heard people say things like that since then.
I don't know. So, it's something at GDC about...
Just this past GDC?
Yeah. About, what was his name, Phil Fish or whatever, the guy that made the game? Said something about how all Japanese games are terrible or something like that. I mean, that's not verbatim, but that's what he said.
Yeah, and that the Japanese games industry is like set in the past and that they're not evolving or anything.
Okay, true.
Right. So
that part's true.
I think it was just the egregious way in which he said it as opposed to like the content in which he was saying. Because obviously this, I don't know if Phil Fish had been paying attention to the last 3 years of the internet, but this is not new things for people to say. In fact, people in Japanese gaming industry say that often. So
yeah, he's like our good friend set in the past.
Our good friend Inafune.
Yeah.
says that.
Yeah,
he up hates, at Noon
he
alum.
Hates his own industry.
We just got word this week that Skyrim is getting Kinect support on the Xbox 360.
Oh, so is this our
Xbox on!
It's going to be a free title update coming to Skyrim later this month. Enables Kinect support. Adds in 200 different voice commands.
Jesus Christ.
It's a lot, right? Who's going to be using all those?
I don't know.
You'll be able to use them to perform dragon shouts.
Sword!
Hotkey equipping. Yeah, so exactly.
Inventory! Right. Potion!
You can yell commands to your followers.
Equip dragon bones!
As well as control all the menus with your voice.
Drop sword!
So I played a lot of Skyrim before, like before Christmas, before we went to break.
So obviously you're excited.
Well, I mean,
this is what's going to bring Damon back in.
I've been wanting to get back into it. I've just, you know, I'm playing Mass Effect 3 now, and now I'm going to play Witcher 2, and then I'm sure something else is going to come out that I want to play. That, so I don't know that I'll actually ever get back to it.
Sell cheese wheel.
Yes.
All. Eat.
Upgrade. Lockpick.
Is this the promise of Kinect being fulfilled?
It's almost like a 5-year-old kid. He's like, on! On!
Netflix!
Yeah.
That's just adult David Clayman joining.
Yeah, that was great.
Okay, so I'm getting the sense that you guys aren't taking this very seriously.
No. What I want to know is, where's the PlayStation Move support? Am I right, Greg?
Yeah, totally. That's what I want, the one-for-one killing dragon controls.
I want a sword with the bozo, the clown nose,
on the
end of it.
Glowing red ball on the end of it.
Colin, did you play much Skyrim?
I did. I played it for maybe 20 hours. I stopped playing basically had a protest for my people when the game stopped running on PS3 well or whatever. And I know they patched it, and other games were coming out, and I was just kind of, I don't know. Greg can tell you, I was like so excited when that game came out, and I was just like, I don't know.
It was more Moriarty big talk that had nothing to back it up. I'm gonna this game's gonna come out, and you and Mike Mitchell won't see me. I'm gonna disappear into my room and platinum this, bro. And instead, he's freaking out there reading political blogs, ignoring Skyrim.
I don't know.
You weren't too enamored with it when it finally came out.
No, I mean, it was cool. Like, I like fantasy settings, and I actually like. The subarctic, like piney woods kind of shit, like almost like in Game of Thrones or something like that, with the near the wall and stuff. I mean, I like that kind of setting, but I don't know, the game, it was cool. I think Fallout 3 is a better game, obviously, but
oh yeah, I agree with that.
But yeah, it was cool, and I'll go back one day and play it, but right now I'm too enamored with Unit 13 on PlayStation Vita to play it. So
got it at the zipper going out of business sale.
Yeah.
How about that World Gone Sour?
Review goes up today.
Nice.
It's a $5 download on PSN and XBLA. It's better than I thought.
Based on the candy, the Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, but like, the game is like morbid and funny. Like, I don't know. It's $5. I mean, you really can't go wrong. I started playing it. Like, we got codes from Capcom, so I just started playing it to see like what it was. And I was like, no one probably care about this game, but I kind of got drawn into it. I was like, this is not terrible, you know? There's certainly many games worse than this.
My cousin did PR for that game, and I have no idea what their PR strategy is, aside from hiring Method Man to rap about Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, Method Man's in it.
Yeah. Is he in the game?
Yeah, there's, when you beat the game, spoilers, when you beat the game, there's a music video of him rapping
there's
about
There's a picture of Method Sour Man Patch. When you beat the game.
There's like a whole music video of like him rapping about Sour Patch Kids at the end of the game, spoilers.
But yeah, I mean, she approached me about a year ago and was like, hey, we're doing the Sour Patch Kids video game. What can IGN do? And I was like, nothing. That sounds terrible. That's just, I want people to understand that it doesn't work like that. But yeah, I was like, good luck. I don't know what to tell you. Like, we're not going to shill your candy game for babies or whatever. But and I guess it turned out to be pretty good, and it's only the price of a bag of Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, it's $5. It's good. I mean, that's it. I mean, it's not. Yeah. I don't even know that I would recommend it to anyone, because it is what it is. But it's not bad.
Well, so like a video game based on candy, you would think is like a marketing tool, right? They're trying to sell more candy.
Yeah.
So the interesting question to me is, will this actually succeed in selling more bags of Sour Patch Kids?
I don't know. I don't know.
It makes you think about it. Next time you're at the store, you're going to think, I need some candies to sneak into the movies. You're at the Walgreens in the aisle and be like, oh yeah, Sour Patch Kids. I remember saving them and killing them in that game. I need to get me some of that. Everybody remembers, of course, the giant upsell in 7-Up when the Spot game came out back on the
cool
Genesis.
Spot.
And cool Spot. Yeah.
McKids really put McDonald's on the map. Too, yeah. So
when Sneak King was released, Burger King became the number two hamburger joint in the country. And when it went away, Wendy's took over.
Well, that was smart because you could only buy it at Burger King. Yeah. So.
People love those games too. I remember getting those in college.
There were like four of them, right?
Yeah. Three or four, yeah. And I just remember... I remember they came in cases that looked like Xbox 360 cases, but they are not Xbox 360 games.
They're cheeseburger wrappers.
Yes. They are.
But yeah, she was like, my cousin was like, I was like, why did you make this game? And she's like, well, the other thing we represent is Swedish fish, and you can't make a game out of that.
So she does PR.
I was like, what?
She does PR for the candy.
Yeah.
Okay. It's weird that the game isn't free. That's what is weird, because it is a marketing tool, right, for
so you're buying
candy.
A commercial game.
Yeah, why wouldn't you give me the game for free to support the candy or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what is free?
What's that?
Treasures of Montezuma.
No,
Blitz.
You wrote an article saying that's not really free. Don't confuse people. That's the free to play game. That's not free to play at all. You lose 5 lives and then it asks for your money. It doesn't even tell you more lives will regenerate later. It just asks you for money.
What?
Yeah, read my article on IGN PlayStation Vita.
You're sitting
the
right
free
here,
Vita
so
game that
the
really isn't really free.
Yeah, there's a game that like was free and I'm like, oh, this is cool. We have absolutely nothing to play on Vita right now, so I'm going to download this game and it's like a Bejeweled clone and it's not very good, but. It doesn't say anything like in the literature beforehand. I wrote an article about like picking apart the literature and stuff that was like written beforehand. Like the people was like, it's free to play for life. You don't have to spend any money to be competitive. All these things, but then you play the game.
What's the name of the game?
Treasures of Montezuma Blitz.
Okay.
And it's like you play like 1 minute games of Bejeweled basically, and then it cuts you off. And then after 5 lives, it's like you have to buy more lives for 99 cents. Like the whole interface doesn't make any sense. But if you put your Vita down for like, I don't know, an hour and then go back to it, you can play again. Like,
so that's exactly that's what Triple Town is like,
right?
On the iPhone, really fun puzzle game. And you only have so many moves to build your town with the free version. You only have so many moves to build your town, and then it's like, well, you can buy more moves or just wait. Let some time pass.
Does it say you can wait, though?
Maybe like at the beginning. You have like every move takes away time, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you just set it down for a while, it takes like a minute to generate one move. But yeah, if you just let it go, it'll regenerate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this doesn't say anything anywhere. Like you would never know that you could that you didn't have to buy lives. Like it's just a totally deceitful. Don't download it. Just what was surprising me is I wrote this article and I'm like I'm going to speak to the Vita gamers, all 10 of you out there, and I'm sure some people appreciate it. But I've gotten a lot of appreciative comments and tweets that people are like, yeah, man, you're totally right. Even people on PlayStation blog, which are generally more positive. Uh-huh. They're like, this is bullshit. People are like calling it like deceptive and disingenuous and all that stuff. A lesson for Sony to learn that they need to be a little more careful with the free to play shit.
Well, wasn't there is a Vita game on the like number 3 on the NPD list? Yeah,
yeah, the show.
Yeah, I thought that was impressive.
It is impressive.
Some people were like, the only Vita game to show up on the top 10 was the show. It was like, well, a Vita game is in the top 10.
Yeah, that's exactly. Really impressive.
It's combined with the PS3 version of the game. I mean, I don't understand why they don't separate it by SKUs. And yeah,
okay. Well,
and the show is widely considered maybe even the best sports game on the market.
It's also the big one they push in advertisements as well.
Yeah, and it's got like Vita crossplay and stuff. So I mean, cool product, but what I noticed is that MLB 2K12, I guess the competing product on every SKU, like Wii and PS2 and DS and everything was number 10. So that game like roundly outsells it on the least popular console and the least popular handheld, which tells you something about the game.
Quality. Yeah. Baseball people want their Sims to be quality.
Sony San Diego doesn't fuck around with that game. I'll tell you that much.
Greg, you said you thought World Gone Sour should be free.
Uh-huh.
So like, what about like a game based on a movie? Should those be free too?
No. Those I don't think matters. I mean, like, like the next Spider-Man game isn't telling the story of the movie. It's just it's a reason to put out a Spider-Man game and let you run around.
But what if it is? Like, what if it was?
What if it was free?
No, what if it was following the story of the movie?
Then even then, I mean, how many hours and stuff are you getting out of it? I don't know. I guess you raise an interesting point.
Thank you.
But I guess the thing here is that like the Sour Patch Kids are a movie that's released every day. Every hour. There's Sour Patch Kids all the time. Like, this Spider-Man, is a franchise that's coming around once in a while, and so they make the toys and they make all this stuff. It's not so much as an advertising tool, but for you to be that character. You watch the movie, then, if you're a kid, you want to go get the toys and play out the scenes with yourself. You want to get the costume. Everybody's making eyes at this.
There's a Spider-Man thing released every 8 seconds.
Sure.
Like, whether it's a comic book or a TV show or a
Spider-Man thing.
Yeah, Spider-Man thing.
Nobody ever eats Sour Patch Kids though and go, man, I want to know more about the Sour Patch Kids story. I want to go pretend to be a Sour Patch Kid.
But what's cool about the game is that like, when you turn on, it's like, all right, what the fuck can this game possibly be about? And it's actually kind of clever. First of all, I think you heard the voiceover maybe a little bit.
I was playing
Call with Anthony before and he was laughing. Like the voiceover is like totally funny as hell. Like the game's super dark. It's about like the story's about like what happens to the cabbage or not the cabbage, the Sour Patch Kids that you like drop on the floor, like falling between the cushions. Like they get, and it's about like how they get fucking pissed and they turn into bosses that you fight and stuff like that. Like, it's kind of a funny idea.
Who's the developer?
I have no idea.
I mean, lots of developers take on contract projects. They're like, I have to assume they were hired by Capcom to make the Sour Patch Kids game. So to their credit, they made something cool. They're whatever. We're making a game based on Sour Patch Kids. Let's just make it fucked up and cool.
Their uncle didn't get shot at the beginning, and they get bit by a spider or whatever dumb story.
They are different. Spider-Man toys aren't advertising the Spider-Man movie. They're there because
the toys based on the movies certainly are.
They're not. That's not their sole purpose. Is the whole sole purpose is to make money in general for the Spider-Man franchise. It's like
then couldn't you say the same thing about the Sour Patch Kids game?
You could, but I'm not. I want you to know that I refuse to, and I won't.
I'm choosing not to see them the same way.
That's because you're a Spider-Man fan, though. That's the only reason.
Yeah. I'm just saying, nobody ever is, man, I want to, let's go, maybe, Colin, let's add this to our fan fiction list. We're going to go write some Sour Patch Kid fan fiction.
It's a candy. What do you want?
Do Game Scoop listeners know about some of the fan fiction we've been
We have a good one. You watch Mad Men, right?
Yeah.
All right, we have a good one brewing. You remember the guy?
Now, wait a minute. I've only seen the first two seasons, so don't ruin anything.
Okay, well, I will dance around this. Have you seen Mad Men?
Yeah.
All right, so, okay, good then. We'll just say at some point, some British gentlemen get involved in the show.
Okay.
And one of them is the dad from The Nanny. Remember The Nanny with Fran Drescher?
Yes.
That dad is there. But he's not the same character, obviously, because this is in the 60s and The Nanny was in the 90s. Uh-huh. So Colin and I want to work on a fan fiction about how the British guy in Mad Men is the father of the dad in Nanny. So we want to connect the dots between Mad Men and The Nanny.
I watched the show Fringe, and that same character is on that show as a pan-dimensional traveler.
Oh, shit. So this just got real.
Story redeemed.
This just got real. Now I'm excited.
There we go.
All right.
Shows are connected in stupider ways than that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like Perfect Strangers and Family Matters.
Well, so speaking of shows being connected then, I just started watching Sons of Anarchy.
Yes, mm-hmm. Excellent.
And a cop shows up on the show, played by an actor who played a cop on The Shield.
Yes, those worlds are...
So is he playing the same character? He's sort of the same kind of like neurotic.
You can read about this, but there's actually crossover between those worlds. Like there's gangs that pop in and out of both, or have popped in and out of both shows. Mm-hmm. And I think they were created by the same person.
They were. But and also though, later on in a part you're not, they walk in, and this is like seasons later. They walk into a room and somebody's watching The Shield on TV.
Oh,
so that kind of shatters it.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Which cop is from The Shield? I didn't watch The Shield. I've watched all of Sons of Anarchy.
The one that looks like Nate Ahern.
No. He's like a private investigator in the very first episodes. He was taking photos of what's his name, the main good looking guy,
Jax.
Having sex.
Jax.
Yeah, and then he showed the videos to.
Yes, I know exactly what we're talking about.
So that guy is
he's an ATF agent.
He's a cop on The Shield.
All right, well, he's not an ATF.
He's a detective.
Yeah,
so he's playing.
Without ever having watched The Shield, but knowing that character, I will tell you hands down, it is not the same character.
There's also later on. There's one of the sons that they introduce in is a character from The Shield.
A real character?
Yes.
Like his same name and everything?
No.
Okay.
It's weird. Okay. It doesn't mean it's some comic book shit basically, but yeah, supposedly they exist in the same world.
But they watch one on TV.
So they exist in the same state. Sesame Street.
The real question that I have, and I think maybe only Greg would understand this, and maybe some of the listeners, is does Jericho and The Walking Dead take place in the same universe? Because Hawkins from Jericho is the character you only see in the first episode.
Yeah, he's got a different name, and there's no bombs being talked about.
You don't even know his real name in Jericho.
Don't be stupid.
You don't even know his real name in Jericho.
Oh, yeah, true.
And there's no sad pop songs being played in the background.
And there's no nuclear bombs, unfortunately.
Not yet.
Jericho's a show I need to watch.
Jericho is a show you need to watch.
Jericho, and then you can get in on me and Colin's Halloween costume. We won't tell you about it now. We'll keep it under wraps.
Yeah, our Halloween costume idea is awesome.
We have the Alpha costume. We call it Alpha, and then we got Project Omega. We got two ones. One involves John Quinones.
Do you want to say what the other one
is? What is it like living with you guys? This is insane.
Well, I'll have you know that everyone knows, I'm sure, the hit ABC show, What Would You Do?
Mm-hmm.
Where John Quinones runs out with a camera while something fucked up just happened, and they want to know why you did or didn't help or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so
that's a favorite of ours.
Yeah, we DVR that. I can't watch it without Colin. He can't watch it without me. And one day I was watching a rerun. And Colin was away, and I texted him. I had a new Halloween costume idea, and what it would be Colin and somebody else would go to the Halloween party with all our friends, and they would go in normal clothes,
uh-huh.
And they would walk in, and Brian would walk up and be like, "Oh man, like Colin and Damon, why didn't you guys dress up?" And then Colin would start getting all mad at Damon or whatever, like slap him around a bit, and then we'll wait to see what you do, and then I'll run in as dressed as John Quinones from What Would You Do with like somebody like Steimer with a little camera to record.
This is so elaborate.
I'll run in anyway. any listeners at home, you are welcome to do that one as well.
But this is, this is incredible.
Remember,
deep.
You got to run and go, excuse me, I'm John Quinones from What Would You Do? And then you ask why they didn't help.
But the Jericho costume we're going to keep under wraps.
Yeah, that's too good. This is a fun game scoop.
That makes me think of the Kicked in the Nuts TV show on
You Stuck Kicked in the Nuts.
No way! Colin, tell us about this Capcom Sega Namco crossover that was revealed this week.
It's a 3DS game. It's called Project Cross Zone. Don't know much about it, except for you would expect it's a fighting game, but it's actually supposed to be a strategy role-playing game.
Which, no, these are the type of games I like.
I do, too. Speaking of which, Disgaea 3 comes out, right?
Soon. Yeah. Tuesday. Yeah.
Look for the review next week.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know much about it. I sent an email out to Games, almost said the alias, all the editors, and about the game, and it sounds really cool. I'm not entirely convinced it's going to come out here though. So, because of the characters they selected, and especially like Namco, it's just like dudes from Dot Hack and shit. I mean, there's some like
it's really weird. Those games come out here, the Dot Hack games.
They do. I mean, I played the first one on PS2 and Xenosaga and stuff like that. But those just don't have like any cachet with anyone here.
Yeah.
But like Capcom characters certainly doing stuff. So we'll see. And 3DS is selling well.
It's always weird when I see stuff like that because then I'm like, that is like 60% of that is not going to make any sense to anyone in the U.S. That's going to come here and people are going to be like, cool, it's the guy from Resident Evil. And then I don't know any of these people. But
So if it's a turn-based strategy game, like, is it going to play like Final Fantasy Tactics?
I don't know. I mean, is it necessarily going to be? Did they say it's turn-based?
Oh, I guess I'm not sure. I thought it was, but
it probably will be. But I don't know.
Yeah, they're just saying strategy RPG.
Yeah, for now, and I don't know what that means.
Japanese strategy RPGs are by and large turn-based.
Yeah, the finest Japanese turn-based strategy game, of course, other than tactics and stuff, is of course Front Mission, and that is turn-based. But what I liked, I don't know if you saw it. I mean, I think we had it on the site. Is the and we were talking about this on Beyond yesterday, is the way that they marketed it I thought was like fucking really clever before they brought the game out.
Just put up the like abstract,
yeah, like the pixel art, yeah, basically, and mm-hmm. like people guessed like which characters are which I thought was like absolutely
just based on their
idea.
Color scheme.
Yeah. They were just like vertical rectangles that had slices of color on them, yeah. And they're like, oh, that's Wesker.
Yeah, it's Ken. And
how
all
the
these
hell did you do that?
They were right about almost all of them. And I thought that was like Mega Man X and Zero and all these great characters. I thought that was really brilliant. But I don't know. All these companies are getting together. I mean, One Piece Pirate Musou is coming out, or Pirate Warriors is coming out on PS3.
Me and Brian have been
good luck with that.
Pre-ordering that one left and right.
I'll tell you this about that game. I mean, that's a crossover between Namco Bandai and Tecmo Koei, which is a weird crossover. And that game sold 800,000 copies in a week in Japan on PS3, which is fucking huge.
That's like a crossover between NyQuil and Sleeping Pills.
Yeah, basically. And it's coming out here on the PlayStation Network.
Yeah,
in 2012.
Apparently, this game is 50% complete. I like that about... And so, in Japanese game magazines, they always list, like, what percent complete the game
weird?
Is. I think that's cool.
Yeah. They've been doing that since as long as I can remember, too. Like,
this game is 67% complete.
67% complete, and you'll be playing Super Mario Brothers 2 soon.
What? It's an industry and a gaming base that, you know, at least grew up being obsessed with statistics.
Yeah.
So, that makes sense to me.
They're aiming for a 2012 release in Japan. So I don't know. Yeah, who knows if this game will be released over here? But
who's I guess Capcom's publishing it. I mean, that's pretty obvious because it's called Cross Zone. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. Like all these companies just getting together. I think it's fascinating.
That's such a 1990s video game title.
Yeah,
there are characters from Valkyria Chronicles in here, Greg.
Yeah, buddy.
Now you don't care about Valkyria Chronicles anymore.
I care about playing Valkyria Chronicles, not this weird ass cross bullshit game.
Cross Force Zone.
I don't know. Get Valkyria Chronicles 3 already.
Zone 4.
That's not coming out here. There's no way.
Not to Vita?
Well, yeah, no shit. Sega's going under. I mean, they're the Titanic over there. Yeah. They don't have time to be translating PSP games to the PSN to the Vita.
They fucked up with Valkyria Chronicles. I don't know why either of those games, like 2 and 3, should have never been on PSP. If they wanted that game to sell outside of Japan, that is.
Yeah.
And just upscaling. But, you know, Valkyria Duel was trademarked like 2 weeks ago, so it looks like...
Yeah, that news broke the same day as all the layoffs and restructuring and cutting and running.
Hmm.
They should have patched Valkyria Chronicles for trophies.
Yes, they should have.
That I just wanted to know. Jam and Earl.
That's all you want?
That's all I want.
Did you play the one on Xbox?
Yes.
Was it any good? I didn't play it.
No. The only one that was good was the first one, actually. And even the only thing interesting about that was that the worlds were different. Like, it just generated random worlds every time you played it.
That's your hip-hop roots that likes that game, I think.
Yeah, I think so. There's beatboxing in the elevator, and there's the sound. You could make beats in the sound test. Mm-hmm. I'm old. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Nope, someone clearly don't.
Make beats in the sound test.
People are like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Well, that used to be cool. Some games, like, you could hear the sound effects like from the menu.
I used to love that. I wish they still did that.
Yeah. Just put a little code in sometimes and then it would pop up. And then you'd just let it rock. I'd let Castlevania 3 tunes ride all night.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go in and just play all the different Echo the Dolphin splashes. You know, rock those out all night.
I fire up Mega Man 2 and I bring my little tape recorder up to the TV and press record.
Yeah,
record me in the music. Listen to it whenever I want, Greg.
Yeah. Man, you're your own master. Yeah. You can do whatever you want. I remember when I got out of a grab bag gift of at Christmas, I got Appetite for Destruction on a cassette tape.
And
my friends wanted me
That's
to...
That's actually a good,
good haul. My friends wanted... Yeah, they were all pissed because that was the one we all wanted from the thing. Why we didn't all just buy Appetite for Destruction and drop it in, I don't know why. But I made them copies, but the only way to do it was to ring two stereos together and put it in my parents' bedroom and hit, you know, play on one and record on the other, and then walk away and shut the door quietly and then give these terrible, terrible bootlegs.
Most of your friends' first introduction to that album was listening to it terribly through your mother's speaker. That's funny, man.
But at least you had the high fidelity of the cassette tape.
Oh, yeah, the hi-fi.
I couldn't imagine that because it would like blow people's minds to hear it like on digitally remastered CD. It's like, how come you don't hear a door slamming?
A cat walking by.
A Greg's mom yells during
dirt track three.
Man, I used to methodically make mixtapes and like plan them out by like time, you know. Like,
me so too.
Then I plan out the song order, and then this song's not going
to
fit.
People don't have to do that shit anymore. I used to sit there with my finger on the record button, listening to the radio, and they'd be like, "We're about to announce this new Public Enemy song," and I was like, "Please just play it." And then just like 45 minutes of, you know, nobody beats the Wiz commercials. Finally, they start, and you're like, "Yes," and you get it there. Then you'd stop it, put on a new song. Yeah, that was fun, man.
I think the Wiz went out of business. By the way,
they went out of business when Best Buy beat the Wiz.
Somebody beat the Wiz.
I need to be reminded what the Wiz was.
It's a giant electronics store in the 90s. That was
maybe this is an East Coast thing.
It was only in the tri-state area.
So the Seinfeld thing was real.
Yeah. Nobody like the Wiz. It was a real store, and nobody beats me. Like nobody beats the Wiz was the name of the store. Yeah. So they were like making fun of
the Wiz in Seinfeld was already from Pete and Pete. Was Artie actually the Wiz in the commercials for the...
No, I
think it was like a made-up commercial.
We didn't have an actual Wiz, but there was a... Who was a football player? Was it like Joe Namath or something?
It was
on all the commercials for it? Yeah.
Yeah, but that was just a made-up character. But Nobody Beats the Wiz was a real electronics store. I bought like my Super Nintendo there or something.
Nobody Beats the Wiz was a spiritual successor to Crazy Eddie, which was the other thing we had.
Yes.
Which was awesome. There was this totally insane guy. Like, this is where I bought my NES from this crazy guy named Crazy Eddie. He had his own commercial line where he would just go on and he'd be like, "My prices are insane." He'd smash something. And then he got arrested for embezzling like millions of dollars.
He was crazy.
His brother snitched him out to the U.S. government. And like, it was, Google Crazy Eddie. It's a good story. But
he pled insanity. Got off.
That dude is in jail. Extra hard right now. Sorry.
No, it's good. Nintendo has announced it's not going to Gamescom this year.
They weren't really there last year either.
They didn't have anything to show last year.
Yeah.
But we were there, and we didn't cover any Nintendo stuff.
No.
I don't think.
No. They were like, they had a really small presence. I think Skyward Sword was there or something.
But what I think is interesting is that, so Gamescom is a public show, open to the public, and Nintendo's will be about ready to launch a new console. So that would have been an opportunity for the public to check it out, but no. Nintendo's
like, don't they just do Space World or something?
They used to do Space World.
They haven't done Space World in a long time.
They haven't done it in a long time.
They got to bring that back.
Yeah. It's time.
Bring back the old Space World.
They're due.
Yeah. I hope we get to go back to Gamescom. The same crew as it were. I would love Greg to come, but he doesn't like to travel.
I've traveled a lot for IGN. It's one of those things where...
Greg has a show to do.
It's your time now.
College European vacation too.
I usually go on all the fun domestic trips, so I'll keep that trade off.
Yeah, I like this quote from Nintendo. Nintendo says, "Although Gamescom is one of the most important fairs of the year for us, we've decided not to take part this year."
Priorities. They don't need to.
No, they don't. They operate in their own industry. They don't care about what anybody else does. They haven't for years. And it's been okay for them.
Yeah, they haven't been hurting, really. I mean,
made a few dollars, did all right.
Wii U, man. Tell you what,
that thing needs a new title. I'm hoping that's the big news of this year. It needs a new a lot of things, but it needs a new title.
That's gonna be interesting to see how that actually does.
Yeah,
the Wii U.
Yeah,
It depends on how much it costs.
$300. That's been confirmed. Reggie came out. Look.
did they confirm that?
That is a bullshit lie from
it seems like that's too cheap for the tablet and stuff. But the what I thought was interesting about Wii U recently was, like, these developers or whatever went on the record saying how powerful the Wii U was, and then a bunch of developers, like, anonymously were saying to sources, like, the Wii U is, like, not even as powerful as the PlayStation 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, ah, it's bullshit. Someone went on the record saying that the Wii U was powerful. And I'm like, who the fuck would take – who would go on the record with a Wii U dev kit before this system's even out and be like,
nobody.
This shit sucks?
Yeah.
You know? Like, everyone was, like, really surprised by that. And I was like, that's really not surprising at all. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. I'm disappointed that the thing's not going to be more powerful, because I actually assume that the rumors saying it's not as powerful as the PS3 are true. So –
sucks you put off playing Batman Arkham City so you could have the definitive Wii U experience. And look
I
at
really
that.
Wanted
and
that
blew
one.
Up in your face.
And fling those batarangs on your touchscreen.
Yeah, yeah.
And other dumb things. I had no idea what's going to happen with all that. I mean, it seems very backwards to me to release a tablet-based controller that doesn't have multi-touch and has a low risk.
Doesn't it have multi-touch?
No.
Yeah.
No, okay. That's interesting.
The Wii was very successful for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a big win for them. But they'd been struggling somewhat, you know, their two previous consoles.
People will not be burned again by the Wii. Like, I'm not saying people were burned by the Wii, but, like, they bought the Wii. Well, yeah, okay, I'm not saying that, like, people, like, bought the Wii and were like, ah, curses, but they bought the Wii and they put it away, you know? And I don't think they're going to see the Wii U and that same person be like, oh, the Wii U, let's buy that. But they're going to remember, like, I have this fucking white box with an inch and a half of dust in my closet, and this thing actually kind of looks the same, and I don't really understand it. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, I'm actually most interested to see how it does.
I'm very interested. Yeah, it'll be. Yeah, can Nintendo do it twice?
Exactly.
I mean, people are always saying, you know, games are losing. They have to compete with Apple devices and stuff like that. And I don't really feel that's true. I don't think that people aren't playing PlayStation games because they're playing Angry Birds on their phone. I think they're, like, two very separate worlds. That you sit in front of your TV with a controller, it's something. But when you build a console that's tablet based like that, you're getting as close as you fucking can to, you know, directly competing with an iPad, especially if you're saying this thing's going to be $300, $400 or something like that. You're $100 away from just buying an iPad. And that's, I think, what people will lean towards.
Yeah, I agree. And to be fair, people don't play PlayStation games because they don't know they exist.
Yeah. Sony's crack marketing staff letting you know about the 20 exclusives that just came out Tuesday.
Should be a fun E3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this E3 is going to be great.
Speaking of, we just got our flights. Mm-hmm. We're registered for E3. We're all ready to go.
I don't know if I'm registered. I tried to register, and then it said, this password and name is already in use.
Then you must be registered.
And so I emailed E3, and I was like, hey, guys, am I registered? No response. So
I registered in March, and I got an email like 2 days ago confirming it.
Okay.
You might have to wait a little while.
Okay. I'm all set. Okay. This is my fourth E3? Third?
Okay.
Good. Or fourth?
Okay, old man, whatever.
Yeah. What about you?
This would be my sixth.
Tonight. Wow. Damon?
My sixth professional one. Eighth total.
Wow. How was it when you used to go for fun?
Fun. It was awesome.
But your role at E3 is pretty awesome now.
Yeah.
As it was last year.
I run the live show. Yeah. I run IGN's live show for E3. So.
Which is very cool.
So I get to see all the big games come to me.
Yeah. You have the one of the luckiest gigs.
Yeah.
You sit in your chair, comfortable chair,
mm-hmm.
and people bring games to you.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And you just get to say, hey, what percentage of this game is done?
Yeah, please. This game is 67%.
Yes.
It's a good gig.
Listener Thane Schuning has a couple.
Loved his role in Mass Effect.
That was his last name. I never got his last name.
It was Thune, whatever the hell it was. So.
He's got a couple Steam codes he wants to give away to his fellow listeners. This first one is for Defense Grid: The Awakening, which is one of my absolute favorite tower defense games. This code is 7NXMEQTWHJM95Z0. That's for Defense Grid. The second code is for a game called Hack/Loot. I haven't heard of that one. But I get from the title, we can sort of draw
a
vague picture of what that game is like. That code reads 9485QXB9FCGYXLX. Whoever gets those games, make sure you send good vibes to Thane Schuning.
Speaking of sending good vibes, Damon,
yes,
earlier this week, a GameScoop listener named Dave approached you and me. Mm-hmm. Remember? He needed some help. He's making a game. He's got his own Kickstarter. Everybody knows that IGN and Up at Noon got Tim Schafer off the ground with his failing little Kickstarter. Yeah. We're going to do the same for Dave here on GameScoop. So Dave wrote in asking if we could get people to donate to his game.
And I said he actually wrote in asking if he could advertise.
Yeah, he wanted to buy advertisement on GameScoop. No, we don't do that, dude. Don't worry. No money is ever getting made off a podcast. But I said,
we'll
do the ad. I said we could do the ad for you. So what you need to know here, game type, arcade puzzle. This is an arcade puzzle title. And then here's some of the text we have for the commercial. Fly Killer Elite is a multiplayer iOS game where you simultaneously squish flies and knock bad flies to the other player in the race against time. Multiplayer. It's Sorting Simulator meets Whack-A-Mole. Number one, multiplayer game using two iPhones or one iPad. Screen divided, Pac-Man tabletop style. Flies run around rampant. Kill them, or with precision, lob their heads off. Kill two or more simultaneously earn power-ups. Kill two or more to earn power-ups, i.e. horse fly of death. Use power-ups like summoning an Esper to temporarily ruin players. stay away from spiny flies, as they are worth negative points. Instead, flick them onto the other player's playing field. When time's up, the player with the high score wins. Puzzle mode. Beat the timer. Stay alive by killing flies and dodging spiny flies. Stay alive long enough to reach a level boss, and he'll appear. Prego rabbit fly. Rabbit fly.
Is this a design document or the ad?
Incredible. Each boss will have a specific weakness to exploit in order to complete the level.
What's the name of this game?
FlyKillerElite.com is where you can go to get the full rundown.
Mm. And that's where you can donate to the Kickstarter?
I'm sure you can link off to that. He didn't give a direct link to anything here.
Okay.
So there you go. It's right. Fast action gameplay is what we have here.
Do we remember what his Kickstarter goal is? Do we know that offhand?
Scroll back here. Let's see. Did he set a goal?
I just wonder what was he trying to get
$8 million.
No, I can click through here. There's a link here, I think.
All right, you sort that out.
I'll blurt it out when I get it.
Sort it out. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com.
His goal is $3,300. Right now, he's at $1,387, so he's close. Yeah, go help him out. Fly Killer Elite on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be an iOS game, yeah?
Yes.
You get a code for submitting, for contributing?
Oh, let's see. Good point. I forgot how this all works.
You get a fly.
He sent you a fly and like.
Did he say they were flies with spikes?
Yeah, those are the ones you can't swipe. It sounds like Fruit Ninja with flies, but then you can flick as well. But the flick sounds like it'd be very easy to swipe and kill yourself. If you pledge $1 or more, you get your name in the video game. What? That's what he wrote. Pledge $5 or more, you get a free copy of the game.
Only
once
if
it's
you
released.
Pledge $5?
Or more. Plus entry into the Fly Killer Elite private forum. Plus the award above.
Well, there you go.
Oh, man. Whoa, wait a second. I might do this one. Pledge $20 or more. You get to be the voice of a fly. You can do the voiceover, one of many, for when the fly gets killed.
Oh, you've got to do that one.
That sounds awesome.
Voiceovers cannot have foul language. Think of the kids. Pledge $50 or more. Did somebody say Fly Killer Backer t-shirt? Plus
no
a set of dead fly temporary tattoos for your thumbs.
Nobody said that. Temporary tattoos for your thumbs?
Yeah, yeah.
Where does that go?
I don't know. You got to shave off that part of your thumb that has the hair on it.
You should say beyond. Your kill should be beyond.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Okay.
I'd be impressed that you killed a fly that knew how to speak.
Yeah. Why did I do this? They were good people. Pledge $100 or more.
They're learning.
They'll add your name or logo in the intro screen where we flash all sorts of shameless logos. Oh, they didn't sell me on it. And then $500 or more. This is the top one. The fly has to dance around on the screen, doesn't it? Why would we leave that area where he roams around on white when we can place a newspaper ad for you or your company right there? That's right. For $500, your ad will be covering the screen where the fly will be roaming, plus everything above. Wow. In case of multiple backers for this pledge amount, the game background will randomly rotate on a per-play basis.
What? This is pretty much everything that's wrong with video games now.
The ads.
People are paying money to put more ads at the front of an iPhone game. Like, but that's what you need is more logos when you want to play a game for 20 seconds on the bus.
Oh, he has a picture of what the temporary tattoos would be. They put them on the surface of your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So there you go.
What do they look like?
Well, this is the ad for the service that's making. Oh, no. Hold on. No, it isn't, actually. It says Elite. It just says Elite Fly Killer. It doesn't look anything like a flyer. It just says Elite. I would stay away. If the temporary tats had you on the fence, I'd say not to do that one.
Yeah.
All right. And if you value your company, I would say not to put an advertisement in the game where your company is going to be covered in dead flies.
Anyway, listeners, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Cameron Tuttle did.
Hello. Will Tuttle's kid's already writing into Gamescoop.
Hello, Damon, Greg, and anyone else on the podcast. That's
hello.
I have an actual gaming problem. I'm 15, and I love gaming. I have my whole life, but my mom absolutely despises it. She thinks that any game that has the slightest amount of violence is horrible. It's a bad idea for me to even think about playing it. She prohibited me from buying Uncharted 2 and 3 because there are guns on the cover.
Beyond.
She thinks that if I play games with guns, I will be obsessed with violence. I told her that I only wanted to buy the game because it is well-written, acted, graphically the best game ever, and overall a masterpiece, but she wouldn't hear it. I wouldn't be too upset about it normally, but I feel like I'm missing out on the greatest games of my generation, not playing games like Red Dead, Fallout, Bioshock, Half-Life, Uncharted, and more. So my question in Games for Preview is it possible to turn my mom around on games? And if it's not, what games can I get that aren't too violent, but are still aesthetically pleasing?
Journey, for the second half of that question. Mm-hmm. Beautiful game. Fun to play. You have a PS3. You're all set.
Yep.
Send your mom's phone number in. We'll call her. We'll talk to her on the air. See if we can turn around. I mean, you know, it's her rule.
Yeah, you're 15, you know. So yeah. A few more years, you got to abide by mom's rules.
Yeah. But you could make an educated case for, you know, show her the video reviews and stuff we have on IGN. I mean, Uncharted gunplay is there, but I mean, it's like, you know. It's not like heads explode or anything. No. Yeah, yeah. It's got plenty of stuff coming.
You're just as likely to go climb a bunch of rocks after you play that game.
Sure.
I mean,
become a treasure hunter.
Yeah. Like, what's the logic that you're going to start doing everything in your game?
There is no logic to any of that stuff.
That's dumb.
That's what you could tell your mom.
Exactly. Yeah. You could just start doing bad things now. Start playing with guns now. Yeah. And then, exactly. Well, mom, I would have learned how to use them if you'd let me play.
I would have had an outlet.
I was really bad at math in school. Hated math.
Donkey Kong Jr. math?
No. I was just really bad at math. And one time my mom threatened to send me like a summer school for math, right? And I told her straight up, if you send me to summer school for math, I will just take a dive on every math test. I'll just stop putting down answers. I'm like, I will try even less than I'm currently trying at math. And we didn't really
talk
about
it. She never crossed you.
No, never again.
So you threatened your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's absolutely... There's no evidence that playing violent video games makes you violent. And when you consider the sheer amount of people that play violent video games...
We'd all be killing everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like logic. Frankly, like, and I don't mean to insult anyone, but people that feel that way about games don't know anything about games and don't really understand the culture of gaming and don't understand the culture, frankly, of media. Because I hope you're not watching R-rated movies, and I hope you're not, read The Hunger Games. The Hunger Games is about children killing other children.
Yeah.
It's a young adult book. Like, there's a time where, you know, you have to just... do those things and enjoy those mediums, and I don't know, it's disappointing, especially because my parents were really cool about that shit when I was a kid.
Video games don't make people violent, they make people tired and hungry. That's it.
Just take off the headphones and go downstairs. Just
go to bed.
I'll
fight you where you stand.
Hey, we'll both get too winded before we get around the table to each other.
Yeah, my parents were always cool about that stuff when I was a kid. Of course, you know, I was playing Nintendo games, they weren't that violent,
yeah.
But my dad would let me watch anything, you know. Today's Friday the 13th. I've been watching Friday the 13th movies since I was like in second grade. Like
I was able to watch R-rated movies too. It was just one of those things. They trust me. You know, it's a sign of maturity, right? That you can see this and not run around cursing and doing all this dumb stuff.
I knew kids that had that box that went on top of their TV that like locked them out of HBO and sexy videos on MTV. It was the saddest thing in the world.
That's so whack.
Yeah,
I remember getting 311's Blue album, and one of the songs on there, track 6, is Guns Are For Pussies.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember showing that to my dad, and I he's like, oh, let me see the album. I had like the little parental advisory thing, and he was like, you looked at it, and then he turned it over, and I'm like, oh my god, he's gonna see that. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. And then just handed it back to me. I was in like 6th grade or something like that. I was like,
well, he should have banned that shit for other reasons. But yeah, I had a friend who went and he went and bought like Dizzy soundtracks and stuff like that, and then hid Wu-Tang albums in.
Nice.
It's just like, wow, man, that's brilliant. That's rough.
But anyway, as far as games that aren't too violent but still aesthetically pleasing, I don't know. Portal 2 is not
a
violent game, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But I wonder if his mom will be wise enough to notice that the Portal gun isn't a gun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, you got a gun. It's a first-person shooter. Ah.
May I recommend World Gone Sour?
Yeah.
On your downloadable service of choice.
This is Imad Khan.
Good name.
Khan!
It's nice work, fellas.
Can we just go drink now?
Yeah.
It's a mod. Fridays are, I just want to hang out on Fridays.
Yeah.
I live stream, record a podcast, go to toaster oven.
This is going good.
Drink a milkshake.
You had a good milkshake. Yeah,
it's good. It's a mod writing in to ask you fine folks a question. Although Lollipop Chainsaw is still a few months away, what are the chances that this game, much like other Suda 51 games, oh, he spelled out 5-1. Sorry, Suda 5-1 games, will drop in price drastically after its release. Unfortunately, this has been a trend with his games, and I, as a consumer, although in love with his games, I want to get the best bang for my buck.
Yeah.
Game doesn't sell well, it'll drop in price.
Yeah.
And it won't sell well, so there you go. I love his games, but they're fucking weird.
Oh, yeah.
They don't appeal to Call of Duty players and stuff like that. So,
see, now, do you think this one still in the same boat? A scantily clad cheerleader killing zombies with a chainsaw? Like, it's like...
Yeah, got a hot blonde running around in a cheerleader outfit.
The name's terrible, though. The name is absolutely awful.
Lollipop Chainsaw?
Yeah,
it's terrible.
I love the name, but I see where you're coming from.
It's called the Lollipop Chainsaw. I mean, like, if you're like, you know, you're at school and you're talking to, like, you know, the football team, you're like, man, I'm playing Lollipop Chainsaw, bro. Yeah. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Do like manly bros like really want to play a game where you play as a cheerleader though?
Yeah, upskirts.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, so I always, if we were talking about this, I forgot who I was talking about this. Given the choice, I always play as a girl in a game.
Yeah, I mean, I played it as like a hot chick in Saints Row 3, but because I saw you doing the same, and I went home and made a character, and I was like, I'm just gonna have a hot brunette chick.
Yeah, I would rather look at that than a douche.
It's true. I play as the standard character in Saints Row 3, the male character.
Really?
Because I just feel
you
like
didn't make a character.
No, I didn't.
I just feel like in that game you can do so much. You can so much customization.
You can. He's running around with that purple dildo though, you know, wrecking shop with it. But
there was a fan on Twitter that made me in Saints Row 3, and it looks exactly like me. So if you want to play Saints Row 3 as me, go do that.
What? Where were your pre-order bonus?
Nothing. No. You get nothing. Just sadness and shame.
If you pre-ordered at the liquor store, get the Brian Altano skin.
Well, Imad points out. PSA, Imad points out that you can right now pre-order Lollipop Chainsaw at Toys R Us for $44.99.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
It's cheap.
I will be playing that game. It looks fun.
Yeah. I'll check it out.
Yeah, so. I'm hopeful that it'll be fun. Mm-hmm. I played it at PAX Prime last time around or whatever. That was the last time I got hands-on with it, and it was kind of stiff. I wanted the action to be really, really fluid and really moving, and it was kind of stiff. But I like the idea, and I like the aesthetic, and I like the name.
You like the name?
Yeah.
I'll be too busy playing Resistance Burning Skies on PlayStation Vita.
Yeah, okay. You're platinum in Skyrim, you're platinum in Uncharted 3, all this crap coming.
I still have more platinums.
Platinum in Golden Abyss, they're all raining down on you.
Yeah, still have more platinums.
Still have a higher trophy level. That's
I love
what
when you guys bicker. It's adorable.
This is Toby Armstrong. He says, it's been about 3 years since the original release of Plants vs. Zombies. We haven't seen a proper new game from PopCap since. Do you have any word on as to what it might be in the pipeline from them? Preferably not another Bejeweled game for the moment. I'm a bit burnt out on them.
No news.
I'd love a PVZ sequel, man.
I'd go for that, too.
I love that game.
Fantastic game. And it's true, it has been a long time since PopCap brought out a new game. It used to be back in the day, they used to put out stuff a lot more often, and but they weren't all hits. It's like, for every 5 games they put out, there'd be like a Bejeweled. But then they put out Chuzzle.
I remember Chuzzle.
Like, they had a game called Venice. And I was like, you don't remember that game because it wasn't that great. But it was like when they started with Peggle and then Plants vs. Zombies, it was like, they were really taking their time. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have to think, like, those are some of the best games you know, ever made. Those games don't come along that often, you know.
I'm just surprised they haven't iterated on Plants vs. Zombies specifically. It was just a sequel.
Well, it's every 6 months. It's on another platform, so I mean, they're
exactly
just rolling in money.
Yeah,
that's one of those games where I look at it and I'm like, how do you make a better game? How do you make Plants vs. Zombies 2?
I just want more stages, more plants, more zombie types. I mean, it could be the same fucking thing, just like more diversity or whatever. I think I don't know. I absolutely adore that game.
It's really good. Kevin Garaventa, I just read Mitch's review and watched the video review of Fez. Has me really excited for the game, but there is one problem. I only own a PlayStation 3. I don't really like to play games on my laptop. Is there any chance Fez could eventually be released on the PSN? Sure, there's a chance that could happen.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be forever. It's the same kind of thing with like Limbo, right? Where
Limbo, it took Limbo, a year.
Yeah, came over, and God, Castle Crashers took forever. Like,
I don't want to talk about that.
These games can cross over, but. If you're in a hurry to play it on your PC.
They might be in a hurry because everything sells really well on the PSN, so there's a lot of money to be made.
I'm sure they can look at the PSN, man, and there's $350 waiting for us if we can just get it over there.
how cheap are 360s now? Like, just go buy one.
$199
You play video games, right? Just get all the systems. Doesn't hurt.
I guess the one hope here is that the Fez guy is really tight with the Trapdoor guys that made Warp. And Warp came out on PSN not too long after. Yeah. But then those games they're kind of like jointly developed by those two guys. So.
Interesting.
Thomas Hurst says, oh. You know him?
I know the Hurst company.
I just happened to be thinking about my old Sega Mega Drive. So this is a British or a European listener. Some of the games I played on it, and I got to thinking, I enjoyed games like Mercs and Chaos Engine, which are both, for lack of a better term, top-down shooters. Man, I loved Mercs. You guys play Mercs? Uh-huh. Capcom game. Sort of a spiritual successor to Commando.
Yes.
You know the type, run and gun through different stages, collecting increasingly powerful guns. They're a lot of fun. This said, when I tried to think of modern top-down shooters, I couldn't think of any. Maybe I'm missing the obvious, or maybe this is a genre that has died out in the age of first-person shooters. Either way, I'd like to know if there are any good ones out there.
Ghostbusters Sanctum was slime.
I was going to say, that popped in my head too, oddly. That's weird.
The absolute best is Dead Nation. That I can think of this generation.
Dead Nation is really good.
And then Renegade Ops is also really fun.
Yeah, I haven't even started it yet.
It's good. I do like it.
Very good. Those are the guys that made Just Cause 2. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I know it's not exactly the same, but what about the best Contra Sam Claiborne ever played that wasn't called Contra?
Yeah, so it's Hardcore.
Yes. But, Uprising. And I know it's not the same thing, but it is, you know, running through levels, shooting shit.
Yeah.
Sure. And there's also, remember, Wolf of the Battlefield.
No, that one wasn't good.
I know.
Honestly, God, Dead Nation is like one of the best games on PlayStation Network. So I would go get that one. Housemarque, bro, good developer.
They're breaking your heart, moving to an iPad.
Yep,
next game is an iPad game.
Sony should have wrapped them up.
Put a ring on it.
Think about the games they made. I mean, just seriously.
Super. Oh, I'm just saying
they must have tried because I mean, Super Stardust and Dead Nation are probably actually the two best selling games on PlayStation Network. So they must have.
Why don't they do more with Vita? They've got Super Stardust on Vita. Why not?
Delta. I was supposed to do an interview with them, and then it fell through. I don't know. I was going to ask them all sorts of things.
You'd play Dead Nation on Vita, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, I would play another Dead Nation on PS3, and it was Dead Nation was free when PSN went down. So like a lot of people have it, and I think that would probably sell. But whatever.
This is Sean. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. I had a thought while listening to some back episodes. Maybe Halo 4 isn't going to have a public beta.
Holy shit.
So we know that they're not having a public beta. He's saying maybe it's because it's being developed as a launch title for the next-gen Xbox. Maybe they know that Microsoft is going to announce it at E3 and have it on shelves this November. What do you guys think?
A resounding no.
Yeah, no. We've already seen screens of it running on a 360. No,
it was very the screenshots just like a picture of the TV and then the 360 and then Halo on it. Like it can't be on anything else.
It's a kid holding a 360 controller and then he's got a newspaper with the date on it.
Yeah, no, the next Xbox is not coming out this year.
Sorry.
The old one's still selling really well. So
marketing and everything else. That's how money works. You gotta get the word out. I mean, imagine how many people would be pissed off at their pre-orders if all of a sudden their pre-orders switched over to the new system or whatever. Yeah. Damn it.
That'll be $460, sir.
It's crazy, though. I was thinking about it. Xbox came out in 2005, so it's going to be 8 years on the market by the time the new Xbox comes out, which is pretty intense. And that's a good amount of time, too.
Yeah.
You're going like this. You're spreading it out. I like that.
Nobody can see what Colin's doing.
No. There's no need for new consoles right now. In fact, I'd be totally happy if PS4 didn't come out for like 3 years.
Probably won't anyway.
Probably never come out.
They'll just hang it up.
Play that Wii U.
Bring the PSN app over to Xbox and they'll be done.
For a true next-gen experience.
This is Jamie. I just moved back to San Francisco. I live around the corner from the IGN offices.
What?
I wonder what I should check out in the neighborhood.
Well, maybe he or she lives in Andrew Goldfarb's building.
Maybe.
Yeah, check out Andrew Goldfarb's apartment.
Yeah, if you eat at R&J Market on Brannan, you're probably eating with Andrew Goldfarb.
Lots of good restaurants around
so
here.
So we go to Victor's for burritos.
Uh-huh.
We walk up second to Toaster Oven for toasted sandwiches.
You pass Lee's Deli, you should go to Lee's Deli and get the Chinese food buffet.
Colin always goes to McDonald's.
Yeah, McDonald's. I can't eat there anymore, though. The place I've been eating now is they have the San Francisco soup place across from Toaster Oven, which is okay. I went to Chat Cafe, which is Indian. I think that's on
that's good.
3rd
yeah, good. Good
Street. Food there.
Yeah. Little Skillet.
Oh, Little Skillet's fantastic.
Excellent fried chicken.
HRD Deli.
Yeah.
Oh, HRD.
Good food there.
Pachise Hayes Valley delivers here. So order from Pachise.
So does Escape from New York, which is better.
Yeah, okay. Escape from New York is probably better. The
wow.
You guys are just full of shit and stupid.
Not really.
Yep. Paragon's pretty good. It's expensive.
Paragon's a nice sit-down restaurant. Yeah.
Good people go to Pete's occasionally.
pizza. When we go drinking, we go to pizza a lot. A little too much.
Yeah, yes. I'd agree with
but
that.
But pizza, the good thing, it's cheap and it's big. There's lots of space there.
Yeah.
You can always get a table.
And decent bar food, you know.
Yeah, decent.
Get wings and a burger.
But then right next to the office, there's 21st Amendment and Nova. Mm-hmm. And those are good restaurant bars.
There's that grilled cheese place. People like that thing.
Yeah.
I like the grilled cheese place a lot.
There's that okay Mexican place in South Park.
Nah, don't go there. Go to Victor's.
Yeah. There's if you want there's Hennessy's if you want a rubber glove in your sandwich.
Hennessy's is terrible.
I don't like Hennessy's.
No, one does.
I don't either.
Any place where you give them a card that says exactly what you want in your sandwich and they still manage to fuck it up every time.
What rubbed me the wrong way about that place?
Gets bad Yelp reviews from me.
Is I was in a rush. It was GDC last year, so like, I think the last time I ate there, and I went to get a sandwich, and the dude was like the owner, the older gentleman, was sitting at the counter. I ordered my sandwich. I'm like, can I pay for it now? Here's what I got. And he's like, no, you can't pay for it yet. And I'm like, I really need to go. Like, this is what I got. I'm not, you know. And he's like, not going to make you get out of here any faster. And then just like went back and read his newspaper.
I would have left. I would have just been like, fuck yeah. Shove the sandwich up your ass, old man. Then you knock all the garbanzo beans off.
That was the last time I was.
So let me ask you guys something. This morning I went into a 7-Eleven and bought coffee and cigarettes, and then I walked out and realized that I wasn't charged for the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like 2 blocks down the street. What do you do?
Oh, I just keep walking.
You just walk out.
That's,
right?
That's,
walk
on.
That's what I figured. I mean, like life will rob you constantly. So if you can steal something back every now and then, go for it.
Well, did you steal it, or did they just not?
Well, it was like Space Cadet. Had my headphones on, just gave him my credit card and walked out. Looked at the receipt and I was like, oh, he didn't notice I had a giant coffee.
It's an honest mistake.
Yeah. I just wouldn't sweat it.
Cool.
This is Peter Stein. My first console was a PlayStation 3.
Oh my gosh.
Which I purchased in 2008.
How young is Peter Stein, I wonder?
On the show, y'all often make references, which are totally over my head, to older games, console studios, people, etc. My question to you is this. How can I, as a teenage gamer, educate myself and reach your level of knowledge?
Time travel.
Are there any sources that I can consult which will make me a gaming sage you guys?
You gotta read, man.
Yeah. Yeah, read some books. You start with the book Game Over.
Yes.
It's a great read.
Great book. It's about Nintendo.
Jump right into that. Yeah. And you'll just learn a lot about how the sausage is made, basically. I don't know if you want to go back and read old video game magazines. That seems kind of like kind of
Wikipedia.
Awesome.
I mean, yeah. It's one of those things. Think about how many times the titles we talk about or systems we talk about come up, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, you could go back and read the Wikipedia pages for the big things that we talk about and get a grasp of it. You can buy collections like the Sega Genesis collection.
Sega Genesis collection is actually awesome.
Yeah.
Read stuff like, you know, greatest games of all time lists and stuff like that. I'm sure IGN's done a few.
We have the top 100 games of all time. Google that and look at it and figure it out.
And we'll help you out. Whenever we can, like this week, I put up a quick history of Double Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch that video. It goes
definitely did. It's awesome.
With a new Double Dragon game was just announced, so we just take a look back at all the.
Yeah, you're lucky. I mean, you have YouTube now, and you have IGN, and you have Wikipedia.
Yeah,
anything you want to find.
We had recess and like talking about games and trading games on the, you know, in class and reading Nintendo Power. Although I do think though that much of our experience is irreplaceable in the sense that we played those games. So
yeah.
I think that going back and playing those games, as they suggested in the questions, is cool too. But Greg's idea to go to Wikipedia, I think, is awesome. Because my favorite game to play on Wikipedia all the time is to like go to a Wikipedia page. I'm usually reading about like history or something. And then I just right-click, open a new tab, like everything that I'm interested in. And if you do that, if you like just go to like the NES wiki, and then you just start opening new tabs as you see like Mario Brothers, Capcom,
what is
you
Mario?
Know Super Nintendo, all these things, and then before you know it, you're reading all of this great stuff.
You fall down a wiki well, basically. There's just like 50 tabs open. But I think it's really cool that he's doing this. I've always worried that like if I have a kid, he starts gaming, he's not going to care about anything that came before Grand Theft Auto 8 or whenever I accidentally have a kid.
If I ever have children, they're starting early, and they're going to learn their history before they go forward. Yeah.
I've talked about this before. Are you going to make them ride a horse to school, too?
Yes.
Cars weren't invented yet.
This is Blake Emmerich. I'm 14. I'm dating a girl I really like. When is it okay to say I love you, or whatever?
Oof. Never.
Not when you're 14.
Don't you,
that's not something you comprehend yet, and I'm sorry.
So, Blake, I'm sure that you really care about this girl very much. You feel very strongly about her. But whether you believe us or not, we can guarantee you that you are not in love with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't. And even when you think, you know, even when you're older and you think, I've been in love with like three girls in my life. Mm-hmm. So like it's not like a permanent thing all the time. Yeah, I think you'll probably want to hold that until at least college, and then you'll make a mistake there, and then you'll graduate college, and then you'll.
I love that you're looking at me, nodding. You're like, yeah.
When we think of mistakes, we look at Brian Altano.
Yeah, and you love pizza, and
I love wings. Actually, everybody knows my first favorite food is wings. My second is pizza. The third is bagels. The fourth is broccoli. Bagels? The fifth is sushi. Everyone knows this.
Wow!
Thanks for being a GameScoop fan.
I didn't know you were a sushi.
Show over.
And when is it okay to say I love you? Well, it's
when you feel it.
When you feel it, and you'll know when you do.
Mm-hmm. And understand it's a gambit. I've never been in a relationship where I said I love you first.
So, really?
Yeah. It's always been like a mutual like
nod.
I love you, and it's like I love you too. And I've been feeling it, but
yeah.
Thank you for saying it first. Yeah.
I've never not had somebody say it back to me. I think that would be horrible.
Yeah.
Big old matzo ball.
Like, I love wish you like, wouldn't have said that.
Yep.
I know.
Or just like, silence. You get Han Solo.
Yeah, can you imagine how Leia felt?
Right?
Yeah, like, he looks like Boba Fett's going to take him away in carbonite. You're probably never going to see him again. You're trying to, like, let him know, like, how you feel. You're going to be left the rest of your life. Probably going to live another 40, 50 years. And you're going to think back at the time on Bespin when you told Han that you loved him. And he was like, he's a dick about it. He's like, I know.
No, really... he's not a dick about it. That's one of the coolest lines ever, man. That's such a great line.
It is an impromptu line, of course. But it's just funny. I always think about it. I'm like, poor Leia.
That was not in the script?
No, that wasn't in the script.
No, anything great. Good that happened in Star Wars films was not in the script.
You see, there was a photo circulating this week of from the set of Return of the Jedi, Princess Leia in her slave, outfit. She's like sunbathing, like in between shots, and her stunt double is right next to her wearing that same outfit, and they're just like sunbathing, waiting for their next shot.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's really cool.
I need to see that. Yeah.
That is all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Colin. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, dear listeners. I leave you with a cut off the new Bass Nectar album. This is called Ping Pong. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop. And we're out. Down low.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.